Thanks for the hype. Welcome to New Philly Shilim. I thought I was going to preach on the couch earlier. I'm like, what's up with the couch? But it was awesome mission sharing. Today I'm going to be sharing the word. And before I go into the message, I want to start off by sharing a vision I saw back in 2009. It's like about 7 years ago. So back in 2009, what was I doing? I think I was working as a graphic designer. And I was friends with John Michael. We weren't married then. And he happened to come visit America. And he invited me to come to a church with him where there were a whole bunch of college students, kind of like Emmaus was gathered. So we had a retreat called Servants Retreat with a lot of college students. And he was invited as one of the seminar speakers there. And I was just tagging along to be his kind of a support. So I went with him. I didn't know what to expect. I think he was just trying to train me in how to minister to people and, different areas of like seeing visions and being prophetic gifting and whatnot. And one of the seminars he spoke on, it was called Spiritual Warfare. And he actually had me come with him and he had me sit up front and told me to pray the entire time of the message and ask for a vision. So I was like, okay, I don't know how, I've never done this. I don't know how to do this, but I'll do it. So I sat in front of the room and I started speaking in tongues. I just prayed. I just prayed in tongues and I was asking God for vision. And this was the vision I saw as he was speaking on spiritual warfare. So one, I saw knives. At first, I saw knives, many, many of them, like numerous knives floating around in the sky. Above people's heads. It's like, okay, what are these knives? And as John Michael was speaking, I saw these knives actually piercing the people's hearts. It was like an army of knives being sent out into people's hearts. So I'm like, that's gruesome. You know, I'm seeing a vision of these knives piercing people's hearts. So I was like, what does that mean? But I just kept praying. And then when I saw these knives were scary looking. They were very sharp, and they were very fierce-looking kitchen knives. And, you know, at the time, I could tell that this was representing the truth. Because as Pastor Don Michael he wasn't a pastor then, but he was speaking, truths were going out into the people that were there. And as I kept praying, I saw people taking the knives that were stuck in their hearts and kind of taking it out. Kind of like in the, war movies, like, oh, take it out. They look at it, and many of them just throwing it away. They just dropped it on the ground and walked out of the room. But some, they took it out, and they took it with them. They're like, oh, this is cool. They walked out of the room, but then they didn't know what to do with it. They just carried it around, and eventually grew smaller and smaller, and it became useless. And for some others, I saw them taking it out and looking at the sword and actually swinging with it, kind of like learning how to use a sword. And I saw the sword getting bigger and bigger, growing into a massive weapon. This was actually one of the clearest visions I've seen since I've started, kind of like practicing seeing visions and asking God for visions. It's so vivid, I still remember this. And I knew what this meant afterwards as I was talking with John Michael. Like I mentioned earlier, the knives were representing truth of God. You know, God's word was being sent out by the anointing that was on John Michael. Oh, and there was another part of the vision that I missed was as these knives were going out, I saw little demons, little devils. You know, a lot of times people think devils, demons, they're scary, they're huge. But I mean, there's all sorts of different kinds of strongholds. But these ones I was seeing was the little ones. Kind of like little kids. Very annoying ones. Like, meh, you know. So I saw them kind of under the table. Hiding under the table. Because they were scared of the word that was going out. And they were also jealous. And they were also annoyed by what was being preached there. And I also saw one little one that was kind of like half the size of John Michael. That was standing in front of him as he was preaching, as he was giving word, kind of jumping, like, stop it, trying to block his mouth. And I saw that, and I was like, man, that demon is so annoying. But that's exactly what the devil wants, devil does not want the word of God to be sent out to the people like that sword and been piercing them in the hearts and it becoming a weapon in the end. When they are able to steward that word, devil does not want that. So I knew exactly what God was speaking through this. That, you know, God's word goes out. On this pulpit, God's word is going out right now. And when, you know, read the Bible, God's word gets illuminated and you're being spoken to by the Lord. There's word of God being spoken to us, being released to us every day. But what are we doing with it? Are we being good stewards with it? Are we just looking at it and throwing it away and just walking away? Or are we taking that sword and learning how to use that word? That's what I want to talk about today. So I want to actually say a short prayer. Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for the word you have ready for us today, God. We thank you in advance, God, that you are God who speaks to us daily, that you release your word to us daily, God. I just declare, Father, every heart being ready for the word today. Lord, I pray that you will remove every distraction, anything, Lord, that is blocking us from those seeds of your word being planted into our hearts, God. And I declare, Lord, fertile soil in everyone's heart, Lord, that we will receive your word and bear fruit. I just declare bearing fruit, Lord God, from this word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this vision reminded me of a story in the Bible, and I'm going to read it for you guys in message version. I was actually excited to do this because sometimes we need to read the word. We read the same word, you know, but sometimes we need to read it in different version, and it speaks to us a little differently. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, 4 to 15, which is the parable of the sower. I think a lot of people are familiar with this story. I hope it's not too small. But I'm going to read it for us, so if you want to just listen to me, that's fine too. Verse 4, it says, as they went from town to town, a lot of people joined in and traveled along. He addressed them using this story, Jesus. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some of it fell on the road. It was trampled down and the birds ate it. Other seed fell in the gravel. It sprouted but withered because it didn't have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds. The weed grew with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Dang, intense, right? Are you listening to this? Really listening? His disciples asked, why did you tell this story? He said, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are others who need stories, but even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. Their eyes are open, but don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but don't hear a thing. This story is about some of those people. The seed is the word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it from them so they won't believe and be saved. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't get very deep. It's only another fad, and the moment there's trouble, it's gone. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes out of it. As they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. How similar is the passage with the vision that I've seen 7 years ago? You know, seeds that fell on the road and birds came and ate it. It was like the vision of the people that threw away the sword and just left. Seeds that fell in the gravel and, you know, sprouted but it withered because there was no strong root. Or the seeds that fell in the weeds and grew with the weeds. It was like the people that had the sword but didn't know what to do with it. So eventually it just became useless. But the seed that fell in rich earth that produced the bumper crop, I didn't know what bumper crop meant. I was like, what's a bumper crop? So I looked it up. It means it's an unusually productive harvest. Unusually productive harvest. There were the people who took the swords and stewarded it. They learned how to use it. They were cherishing the word that was given to them. You know, here, seed represents Word of God, right? And I want to talk about that stewarding, what it means to steward the Word of God. Are you guys ready? So there are two types to God's Word. I think some of you guys probably have learned this already, is that one is Logos. Everybody say Logos. And the other is Rhema. Rhema. Logos, L-O-G-O-S, and Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Logos is a Greek word that refers to the Word of God. The Word of God. Like spoken Word of God. Written Word of God. So when God created the heavens and earth, He spoke and the words became flesh. It became physical. So that's the Word of God that He's referring to when He says Logos. So John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Notice how it says Him. It's referring to the Word of God as Him. Because without Him was nothing, not anything made that was made. So in Genesis 1, when God is creating the words, the word that was that went out from His mouth is Logos word that was like God. It wasn't just mere words. It was God. He was with Him. He was God. That's Logos. And Rhema, everybody say Rhema. It's another Greek word that means an utterance. So this is a type of word that speaks to you when you read the Bible, that gets illuminated, highlighted by the Holy Spirit and just pierces through your heart. Kind of like that vision I saw. This is the word that you get when you are praying in your prayer closet and Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's the word that implies to a current situation or need. It's a timely word, Rhema. So in Matthew 4:4, when it says, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In this case, the word being used for the word is Rhema, not Logos. Because it's the word that was given from the Lord to the person that was hearing it. So notice that it's not capitalized. You can keep it up there. So the word that was mentioned in John 1 was capitalized because the word was Him. The word was God. But this word is not capitalized. That's Rhema word. So Rhema word, like I said, is the one that comes alive and convicts your heart. When you're listening to a message, when you are reading a book, when you are in your just closet praying, it's the word that just speaks to your heart because the Holy Spirit breathed on it. And today I want to focus on stewarding the Rhema word more than the Logos. The Rhema word. Because we need to be good stewards of God's timely word. Amen? When it's released, we got to know how to steward it then and there so that we don't lose it. Or we don't just, and it just diminishes and goes away. So many times we can do that. We can just walk away from this message thinking, man, that was cool. That was really awesome message. But don't remember a thing from it or don't see any change happen in your life. Right? Stewarding God's timely word for your life. So first, let's talk about why. Why do we need to steward God's word? Why? You know, let's look at John 1:1 again. John 1:1. I mentioned that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And how the Word is referred to as Him. And also in Matthew 24, I'm going to go through a lot of verses because we're talking about what? The Word, right? So I'm going to combine the force of Logos and Rhema and just attack you guys with that spiritual sword or knife. But Matthew 24, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You know, if you truly believe in God, then you will truly believe in His words. If you believed God as your Lord and your King, then you will treat His word, which was even referred to as Him, you will treat it with same reverence and same honor and same importance and same value. You know, if you're neglecting His word, you're neglecting God altogether. Because you can't say, for me, I can't go to my dad and say, God, I love you. I mean, Dad, I love you so much. but I don't want to hear anything you say. Or, you know, he tries to speak to me, you know, like wisdom and love. And if I just block out my ear, am I truly showing him love? You know, there was a story of a father. I don't know where I read this story, but there was a story of a father who would tell his young daughter, say her name is Jenny. Hey, Jenny, say she's like 5 or 7. And hey, Jenny, I noticed that your room is kind of messy. Can you clean the room? Jenny goes, okay, and goes away. He comes back an hour later. The room is the same. It's a hot mess. And he looks at it. He's like, hey, Jenny, what about cleaning the room? Can you clean the room? Jenny goes, okay. He comes back the next day. It's the same. And then he's like, hey, Jenny, how come you didn't clean the room? And Jenny goes, well, Dad, actually, I thought about it. I prayed about it. I fasted about it. And, you know, putting my thought into it, I don't know. I need some time. I need some time to do what you told me to do. Can you imagine? But how many times do we do that? I'm talking about the words that we know it's from the Lord. I'm not just talking about any word. I'm not just talking about, hey, my pastor said to fast, I'm going to fast. Not that kind of word. But when you know that it's from the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you, those kind of words, what are we doing with it at that moment when we receive it? Are we thinking about it, praying about it, putting it in the closet until God is like, okay, I mean, I told you maybe a year ago to clean your room, but it's not being done, you know? It's the same with us when our verbal response is not obedience. Our verbal response to God saying yes, but not doing it with our actions is not obedience. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. You know, we're deceiving ourselves if we think we're doing the will of God just by saying yes, but not making any change in our action. We're not really doing the word then. We're just hearing it. We're deceiving ourselves. This is why we have to steward God's word when it's given to us. When it's given. Secondly, the reason why we have to steward God's word is because God's word is good for you. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, it's good for you. Who disagrees? It's good for you, right? Well, you know, God keeps talking to us. He gave us this word, Logos word. He doesn't need to talk to us if he didn't want to. But he does. When we seek for his word, when we ask him, God, speak to me. Give me wisdom for today. Give me wisdom for next year. Give me wisdom for my life. He's not silent. He talks to you. Because why? He cares about you, and it's for your good. It's for your good. Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. His word refines us and molds us. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word does what? It gives us guidance. Right? Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. His word gives us wisdom. His word is for us. It's like medicine for the sick. Hey, can you imagine, you know what it's like if we treat God's word with contempt? I'll show you what it's like. It's like a sick person going to a doctor and saying, God, no, I keep saying God. Doctor, I'm so sick. I'm hurting here and here and here everywhere. Can you tell me what to do? The doctor gives him prescription, tells him what to do. Hey, you need to exercise if you want to feel better, all these things. But going home and doing nothing about it, but still keeps complaining that you're sick. You know, so many Christians want change in their lives. So many Christians want something to be done in their lives. But are you taking the words that are given to you, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's from your Bible reading, are you taking that and really applying it like it means something to you? You know what's so hard to see as a pastor sometimes? Is when someone keeps coming to me, crying for help, crying for counsel, week after week, every week, with the same issue, when that person already knows what to do to make the change. I'm willing to counsel them and you know, comfort the person and stuff. But that person clearly knows that Holy Spirit spoke to her, hey, you need to fast and really bring this to the Lord and make it a matter of prayer. But you know what? I don't want to fast. I'm not willing to do that. That's really hard to see as a pastor. For God, how much more would he really long for you to steward what's already given to you before asking for more? You know, if you had gone to a counselor and paid $50 an hour for some advice or for some inner healing or some sort of, you know, mental counseling, whatever advice that person gives you, how much would you value that person's words? More than $50, right? Man, if I went to somebody and paid like $150 just to talk to the person for 3 hours, I would cherish every single word that person said to me because it's valuable, right? It's worth it. I paid money for this because it's supposed to help me, supposed to be needed in my life. Can we treat God's word as if it were, it's worth like $1,000 an hour? Do not treat God's word with contempt. Do not treat the wisdom God gives you with contempt. Don't just say, that's good, amen, and just walk away and forget everything that was said to you. So how do you become a good steward of God's word? This is a good part. How do you become a good steward? I only have 2 points. 3 is too much, so 2 points. 2 steps to how to become a good steward of God's word. First is to prepare the land. Everybody say, prepare the land. You know, when you're trying to sow seeds, I haven't really done much gardening, so I don't really know. So I have to look it up. What do you have to do to prepare the land for gardening? There's a whole lot of work to do. I was going to go over them, but it's going to take too much time, so I'm not going to. But if you want to prepare the land for gardening, it's not just like the land is just ready for you. All fertile and all the gravel and weed just removed on its own, and you just have to plant seeds and everything sprouts. No. There's work to do. There's work to do. You know, the parable of the sower compares the heart of a person to the condition of the land. So is your heart a hard pavement? Or is your heart gravel? Is your heart growing all sorts of weed and distractions, worries of this world, and worries about tomorrow? You can do something about it. You can prepare the land for planting, but it requires some work. Did I say work? Did I say work in church? You have to work for it. Hear me out. You have to work for it. Do not abuse God's grace and neglect the work part. I'm not talking about striving. I'm talking about being faithful. We have to be faithful. We have to make the effort to remove the gravel, remove the weeds, don't remove the worms. You need the worms in there for the seeds to grow. Put some worms in. Put some fertilizers in so the land is ready. It requires you moving, making those efforts so that God's word can be received. That's on us. Nobody can do that for you. You do that by fasting. You know, a lot of our leaders are going to start fasting tomorrow for the leadership retreat that's coming up. You know, just as much as you sow into that retreat, you're going to reap. When your heart is fertile soil and you go to that retreat and receive the words that are being given to you, you're going to reap so much. You're going to reap a bumper. What is it? Bumper crop. A bumper crop. An unexpectedly, you know, productive crop. You're going to reap that. But before that, what do we have to do? We have to do some work. You know, so that's talking about physically removing things that are clouding your focus of God. I know some of us are going to do liquids fast. Some of us are going to do media fast. I'm going to do media fast. It's more effective for me. You know, it helps you so much to not crowd your mind with, you know, K-pop and all these things that are going on in the world. But just really remove all these junk out of the soil and prepare it for the Lord. Or it's requiring making small changes for better discipline. You know, I thought for me, my personality, I was a super free-spirited. I go with the flow. My life is just in God's hands, and I just fly around kind of person. So for me, discipline is like my least favorite word. And I thought discipline was impossible for a personality like me. But I live with someone that's like excellent at discipline, you know. So I'm trying to like learn from him, but it's like, oh man, his method is not working for me. You know, like I'm trying to do what he does, but it's not working. But for me, I really had to make it a matter of prayer and fight for it. Like, God, I want to be disciplined, not just so that I can say, oh, I'm as disciplined as John Michael and I'm holy, but because I want to steward your word. I want to be a good steward of what you're giving me. I do not want to waste what you're giving to me. So I said, God, I want to be disciplined. I want to be disciplined reading your word and exercising too. This is a body you have given me. I want to be faithful with it. So you know what? I had so many trials and errors. Like I tried doing this. So for me, I realized that when I have a checklist, it's like a motivational, like a motivation booster. You know, I know someone that I dearly love who's motivated by stickers. She's shaking her head, so it's not my fault. If your identity is revealed, Chi Lee. But she was a teacher, and, you know, it's her childlike heart. She gets motivated by stickers. So when we do, like, memorizing Bible verses, she really wants stickers after she memorizes them. You know, not like, give it to me, but that's in like a way of, like, cute, you know. But for me, like, checklist really motivates me. Having a checklist and having like a little checkbox and like working out, like, yeah, like Pilates, you know? And then checking off that little box gives me like some sort of like accomplishment. Like, yeah, I did it, you know? So I was able to find some sort of niche, some sort of like thing that works for me to be able to work for it. Make room for God to speak. You know, get rid of all this junk in my life so that I will be more focused on the Lord. You can do it if I can do it. If I can do it, y'all can all do it. Whether it's making a huge checklist or, you know, for me, I'm very visual. So I love having like a big, like a calendar where I write out everything I'm supposed to do and like crossing them out. Like, yeah, like this is working for me. Whatever works for you, you can make the difference because God's given you the power to do it. So you need both the faithfulness and prayerfulness for this power, combined power to work in your life. So here's the honest truth. You know, I talk about work, and it's kind of ironic to talk about work, like be working for something in church. But you know what? Like I said, we have to balance God's grace with work. Praying and doing. If we're not moving, God cannot take us anywhere. That's the honest truth. If we're not willing to move, we cannot go anywhere. Okay? If we don't steward God's word, we will see no change. That's just the honest truth. In the end, you have a choice to make. Don't expect fruit when you're not planting or watering. And God wants change for you. God wants change for you. He wants to help you. He wants to empower you. But if you don't swing that sword, it will make no difference. You won't see much happen. So second, stage of stewarding God's word is hold on to it until there's harvest. When you look at, when you look at my gangster passage of Luke 8, it says, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word, with a capitalized word, and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Stick with it until there's harvest. You know, there's a power when logos and rhema come together. Have you thought about that? So holding on to it until there's harvest means that you're holding on to the words that has been spoken to you, the rhema word, the timely word, you hold on to that. Whatever it takes, whether you write it down, you know, on your journal and keep going back and praying into it, or, you know, I don't know, make a poster of it. You hold on to it desperately until you see harvest happen. But You wrap yourself up with also the truth, the God's word of logos as well. God's truth. You need God's truth. You can't just work for something without knowing God's truth. That's striving. But faithfulness is when you take hold of God's word and be a good, faithful steward of it, along with wrapping yourself with the truth of God. I am made in the image of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can be disciplined through Christ who gives me strength. I can make a difference in this society through Christ who gives me strength. You wrap yourself up with the truth of God, logos and rhema. Sorry, my script got crazy mixed. So I want to give you guys a moment to think right now. I've never done this before, but I'm literally going to give you guys a moment to think. So what has God been speaking to you lately? What has he been prompting you to do at this hour? If there's nothing, just take a moment to ask God, God, what are you speaking to me right now? I'll give you like 30 seconds to think about it. Write it down when you get something. Write it down right now, and when you go home, open this page, pray into it, and come up with a game plan. For example, I know Pastor Myung-ha preached on stop being passive, don't be passive last week. And I was so blessed by that message because, you know, there were rhema words that God was speaking to me through it. Don't be passive. So with that, I wrote it in my journal, don't be passive. And ask the Lord, God, what are the areas I'm being passive about? You know, Pastor Myung-ha told us to do this. I don't know how many people were able to do it. But if you haven't, you have to do this. This is a way you can physically, tangibly steward the word of God. Rather than just trying to memorize it or trying to remember it, you're able to properly process it and come up with a game plan and put into action. Then you're being doers of the word, not just hearers. So what are the areas I'm being passive about? You know, for me, I'm being passive about asking God for things. You know, I claim Matthew 7:7 so much. I'm like, ask of me and it'll be given to you. But you know what? Sometimes I just find it hard for me to ask God for things. God, I want this. God, I want a land. God, I want, you know, I don't know what I want. Because like I said, I'm being passive about it, right? So for me, what are some action plans I can come up with to improve this? For me, it would be to step out of my passivity and take faith in asking God for things. And actually making a list of things to ask for and see what God does. But with gratitude, with thankfulness, not as an entitlement, like here, you better give this to me. Nobody wants to bless a heart like that. But if I'm able to ask the Lord, God, I just bring this before you and I ask for you to, you know, grant me these things, that would be my action plan. And really step out in faith. What are some Bible verses I can hold on to as I'm applying this word? Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 2:8. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. These are the words I just claim. I just hold on to until I see fruit. Wrap myself up with until I see harvest, until I see a bumper crop. So I want you guys to take these 2 points. What was the first one? Prepare the land. Prepare the land. Whatever it takes. If it takes fasting, let's fast together. You know, if it takes removing media and I don't know, or maybe even working too hard has been your weed in your life. Or maybe your standards of life according to the world. Maybe different things that are crowding and weeding your soil, it's time to remove them. It's time to clear and prepare the land. And second point, it's, what was the second point? Hold on to it until there's harvest. Hold on to it until there's harvest. By meditating, by praying into it, coming up with action plan. Get an accountability partner if you need help praying into it together. Hey, God spoke to me that I need to be doing this, and I really want to be a good steward. Can you pray with me? I lack, you know, motivation. Can you encourage me when I need to? Do whatever it takes to do not let the words from God fall to the ground. I want to just have time to pray. So if I could invite up the praise team. You know, when I remember that vision of people that took the knife and just looked at it and threw it on the ground, I remember just feeling in my heart like, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, that can change your life. You know, that very thing you're throwing away right now could set you free. Please don't do that. But you know what? In the end, you have the power to choose. You can choose whether you store it or you throw it away. And if my heart was aching that much for people that were not able to see the value of the words that were piercing through their hearts, how much more could God cry and intercede on behalf of you for you to get it, for you to see it, for you to really seize that seed and see it grow to the fullest? He wants to see that change in your life. He wants to see that grow in your life and bear much fruit. I want to just invite people who feel like they've been treating God's word with contempt. And there's no judgment here. I mean, we all are prone to it. We can just treat it like we hear it all the time. We receive it all the time. It's easy for us to, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, right? But God speaking to us, giving us the daily Rhema word is something special. No other religion has that. No other religion has a God who personally speaks to them and gives them a word, bread of life, that they can live on. So I want us to just, if you feel like this really touches your heart and tugs at your heart, I want to invite you just to, as a symbol of saying to the Lord, God, I make a decision today not to treat your word with contempt. Whether it's logos or rhema, whether it's reading the word or receiving the words that were spoken to me and stewarding it, I want to be your good steward. If you want to make that commitment, I want to invite you to stand. Lay hands on you. This is the time between you and God. I just want you to close your eyes and just imagine God standing before you with loving eyes. He's not judgmental. He doesn't rebuke, but he just brings his gentle spirit, his gentle love just brings us to conviction. That's who he is. So I want you to imagine the Lord standing before you and just confess with your mouth, God, I confess that I have been treating your word with contempt. I haven't been valuing your words as much as I value someone else's or some other preacher or some famous person that I follow on Twitter. I haven't been valuing your words as valuable as it should be. And I just want you to commit yourself to the Lord. God, I commit myself that I will prepare my heart to receive the word that you give us. And I thank you in advance that you speak to me. I want to be your good steward. I want to be your good steward. Let's pray that right now. In your own words, I want you to pray that to the Lord.